What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Tricky running back decisions on Thursday night, some scary movie trivia, and Halloween frights. Heath and I will try not to fight. And buy low, sell high. It kind of rhymes. What'd you think about my intro? How'd I do?
High doesn't rhyme with night and fight.
No, but it's close. What? It's close. It's close enough. Come on, Ben.
I wish you would have sold it a little better. Like, if you'd have just gone through the poem with confidence and conviction and then just moved on to the next thing and not asked what we thought of it. I think it might have been okay.
All right, lesson learned. Lesson learned. Welcome,
That's
everybody.
That's not true. You would have still made fun of him.
Also true, yes. Welcome to the Wednesday show. We're going to preview Arizona and San Francisco. We got some banged up running backs for the 49ers. We obviously have the same thing for the Arizona Cardinals. We'll talk about that. Can you trust any of the wide receivers? Who are we buying? Who are we selling? There's some players that we haven't talked a lot about that I want to talk more about. Matthew Stafford, for example. Top six quarterback in points per game and 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. Try to get to that. I know you guys have some questions about schedules, guys and girls. Who's got tough schedules? Who has easy schedules? I took a look at a few and get some feedback from Ben and from Heath. Let's get some intro music today. Welcome, Ben. How are you?
How's it going? I'm good. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice little Wednesday morning we got going here.
Right? Yeah, feeling good. Okay, well, he's good. That's good to know. Let's get the Grinch, the guy who's going to turn off his lights tomorrow, the guy who doesn't want anyone in his neighborhood having any fun. I can't get your music queued up, Heath. This is so unfair. Oh, YouTube malfunctioning. Anyway, hi, Heath.
You're a malfunction, and I don't think I'm going to turn my lights off. I have negotiated a deal with my 10-year-old that I will take one trip around the block with him, and then we go out to eat so I can watch the football game without kids interrupting the game and knocking on my door.
Okay, and here's your music. He did the monster. You get the monster bashy.
Last year, I did sit in my living room with all the lights turned off and watched TV and ignored the door when people knocked on it.
That's just terrible.
I have no obligation
to provide
unhealthy food to the neighborhood children.
You're an American. It's your obligation to
participate. If I was going to give something, it'd be an apple or a toothbrush.
You're the worst. All right. Buy low and sell high. Ben, I'll kick it off with you. Who do you want to buy low on?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my names are similar to prior weeks. I still want to buy low on all the Jets. That schedule coming up is ridiculous. They face Miami twice, Oakland, Washington, the Giants, and Cincinnati over their next six games. All of those are basically plus matchups for every position group. I know they've looked awful the last couple of weeks, but we have to expect that they're going to be better against worse defenses than New England and Jacksonville, who look pretty good. They still have A.J. Boye. They still have talent. I don't love the Jets and what their situation, but that schedule is just like, it's so beautiful. Le'Veon Bell would be the main one. Le'Veon Bell gets Miami twice and Cincinnati are both top five running back matchups. as is Washington. The Giants, I think, are 11th in running back points allowed, and then Oakland's like 14th. I mean, there's not a matchup there that you can say is even below average, and some of them are all elite, essentially like four of them.
What the Jets are trying to do here is to disprove the entire defense doesn't matter narrative, because if they can actually be good fantasy options over the next 6 weeks after the complete and utter disasters they have been so far, then it's going to be hard to make that argument.
You mean that matchups don't matter?
Defense, period, or matchups, either one, yes.
Well, but like the opponent's defense, not the Jets' defense, right?
The opponent's defense,
yes,
correct.
Okay.
Thought that was obvious.
Well, I mean, yes, it's obvious, but it was a strange way of saying it. Okay, Heath, how about you? Buy lows?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Terry McLaurin. And he's not going to have a good game this week, but that's kind of nice to be able to go to the McLaurin owner and say he struggled the last couple of weeks. Dwayne Haskins might be starting at quarterback. You can't start him against the Buffalo Bills. What will you take for F1? And I don't think it will be as much as they should. He's still dominating targets. He looked very good in the first half with Keenum against a difficult matchup. I believe he has the largest share of his team's air yards of any receiver in football, and a pretty good schedule in the fantasy playoffs. So I'd like to go get McLaurin.
He's one of the guys, is one of the guys that I highlighted as good schedules. Yeah, and it's after the next 2 weeks. It's at Buffalo this week and then a bye. Then he comes back against the Jets. Now, really, you know, how do you feel about the Lions and their defense? They've got Darius Slay sometimes. He's been a little banged up. But they're 23rd against wide receivers, and he did very well against Xavier Rhodes, who's not having a very good year. Then he's at the Rams. Will he see Jalen Ramsey? But then after that, it does. I don't know if it gets better. I mean, the Giants. Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm looking at Allen Robinson. I apologize. But McLaurin. No, McLaurin also has the Lions. Allen Robinson is another schedule I wanted to highlight. But McLaurin has the Jets, the Lions, the Panthers. They've been all right against wide receivers. The Packers, they've been all right against wide receivers. Then it's Philadelphia and the Giants in weeks 15 and 16. So, all right, he's saying McLaurin. I am a little afraid. I really am. I think if Dwayne Haskins is their starting quarterback down the stretch, I think they're going to have just an awful offense. And you got to tell me what you'd give up for McLaurin. You know, what do you think?
Like Jamal Williams.
Okay, that works. Ben, more buy-lows?
I would definitely take McLaurin in that situation. Look, the only thing that I'm worried about with him, and I agree with Heath that he's a buy-low, is I feel like this is where Josh Gordon's going to land, is with Washington, because he's going to go through waivers. They're going to go through the bottom of the rung teams, and it feels like a Washington move. Another buy-low for me would be Christian Kirk, who was back healthy this week and dominated the passing volume. While he was out, none of the other receivers in Arizona really stepped up. Kyler Murray was leaning on downfield, was mostly leaning on Fitzgerald and David Johnson, who was getting out in some vertical routes. Those two guys were pretty clearly his top two receiving targets. Johnson obviously now hurt. We don't really know how seriously, and the fact that they traded for Kenyon Drake kind of suggests that it might be a couple more weeks until he's fully healthy. And Fitzgerald has been really trending down. And, you know, we've counted out Fitzgerald before, and he's always kind of seemed to overcome that, but he could be kind of fading out at the end of his career. Is what, 36 now, 37? I mean, he's getting up there in age. There's a few scenarios out here where Christian Kirk just becomes the legitimate true number one for Arizona the rest of the season and gets absolutely peppered with targets. In, you know, it hasn't been the complete air raid that we were all hoping for, but in an offense that will play fast and will throw plenty. And I still think Kyler Murray will play better in the second half of the year. So I think Christian Kirk has the potential to be like a high wide receiver two, maybe even a low end wide receiver one. That's like his upside the rest of the way. And he's somebody that I'm willing to buy for sure.
All right. Heath, you got another one, or shall we move on to sell high?
Yeah, Calvin Ridley. I've still got big expectations for a breakout from him without Mohamed Sanu. He just put up 4 for 70 with Matt Schaub, but didn't get into the end zone, thankfully. Now he's on a bye, and this is kind of a bigger point. If you are 6-2, 7-1, 8-0 right now in your fantasy league, you should be looking at every borderline playoff team, who they have on a bye, and trying to buy them for just a little bit less than they're worth rest of season. Because there are teams, and I've got some teams in the opposite situation, where I've got Julio Jones and a Rams receiver and a running back that's on a bye this week. And sometimes you can't afford to lose any more games. You've got to take 90 cents on the dollar.
So how would you guys rank these three receivers that you guys have separately identified as buy low? Christian Kirk, Terry McLaurin, and Calvin Ridley. Kirk, McLaurin, Ridley, Heath, how would you rank them?
McLaurin, Ridley, Kirk. But there's not that much separation between the three of them.
Okay, Ben?
McLaurin would be last for me. As good as he's been, I do have significant quarterback concerns there. I agree with Heath. They're relatively close. It would be kind of a toss-up for me between Ridley and Kirk, though, at the top. I think I'd probably go Ridley, Kirk, McLaurin.
Okay, we're going to do some sell high. First, I got to tell you about the Facebook. Awesome. Get on the Facebook group, Fantasy Football Today. Tell us your biggest draft day regrets this year. Like for me, I said Josh Gordon, and now I've dropped him. So if he goes to Washington and he's good, which I'm not quite sure he would be if he went to Washington, I'd be pretty annoyed about dropping him. It'll be a midseason regret. But yeah, Josh Gordon, big draft day regret for me. Jamie said Zach Ertz for sure. Kerryon Johnson, I'm sure, is a regret for a lot of people. And parlay pick'em. Here's your chance to win $1 million. $1 million. You know how parlays work. You just got to pick some games. You can download the CBS Sports app or go to cbssports.com/parlay and submit your parlay card. Once you're done, you're immediately in contention for big-time cash prizes, including the chance at $1 million. And there are other prizes as well. So go to cbssports.com/parlay or download the CBS Sports app and take your shot at $1 million. For sell high, my buy low, by the way, is Keenan Allen. I just have a lot of faith in him. And he's got 21 targets over his last two games. He dropped a touchdown last week at Chicago. If he had caught that ball, we're talking about him a little bit differently. I don't really want to get completely into it, but because faith in a player. I just have faith in Keenan Allen. I would trade DJ Chark for him, for example, if I could. And he's actually, luckily, they have no running game, and Phillip Rivers is on pace for the second most pass attempts of his career. Rivers is on pace for 100 more passes, about 100 more passes than he threw in 2018. So Keenan Allen, I don't know how low you can get him, but it's 5 bad games in a row, and I'd be looking to try to acquire him. Sell high. Do you care at all about the fact that Michael Thomas and Tyler Lockett are catching 82% and 85% of their passes, which they also pretty much did last year? But Tyler Lockett is going to break Michael Thomas's record. At this rate, anyway, just barely.
He's not.
Well, at this rate, he is.
Not.
Well, okay, does that make Tyler Lockett a sell high in that case? Because last year he caught 81.4% of his targets. That's crazy. This year, 85.2%.
The problem is he's been a high-end number two or low-end number one, like, depending on how you want to parse it. And he's 19th, I believe, in the league in targets. He has been, over the last 4 years, the most efficient wide receiver in football. If you take the targets down low enough to include him, he's been one of the most efficient wide receivers of all time. In fact, I think the most efficient since we started keeping track of targets in 1992. So if he's 19th in targets, I would fully expect he's going to rank higher than 19th in fantasy points.
Okay, so don't have to sell him then, and nobody's selling Michael Thomas. So Heath, who are we selling?
You ready to get mad at me?
Yes.
Darren Fells.
Who's buying Darren Fells?
People are treating him as if he is like a tight end starter now. And he's just a part of that group of Jason Witten, Cameron Brate, Jonnu Smith, Dallas Goedert, and a dozen others. He may be towards the top of the group list, but he's just a part of that group that does he score a touchdown. Just a week ago, he had 2 targets, caught both of them for 27 yards. And there were some significant fab bids for Darren Fells on Tuesday night. There are lots of teams that missed out on him and have tight ends that are worse than him. And I would take anything I could get that I thought would help my team consistently.
Okay. For a guy who's 53% owned, I think we could...
Glad I could help.
I think we could do better than that. Ben, what do you think? Who's a sell high?
Well, yeah. I just want to chime in on the Thomas and Lockett comments too. I mean, we have seen catch rates rise over time and over the years, right? And so Michael Thomas broke the record last year. And I'm sure this is true for Heath too, but when I was projecting him, he broke the record by 8 percentage points of 100 target receivers all-time catch rate. Wes Welker had the record at 77%. Thomas put an 85% catch rate season. We have seen completion percentage rise over time. Like I said, I'm sure this is true for Heath. I projected him to essentially regress, but not back to any kind of like league mean. I expected him to regress to still being better than Wes Welker's previous all-time record. So basically the second best all-time catch rate was what I was projecting this year, because he's shown that ability all throughout his career so far. He has kind of a low average depth of target. And for Lockett, I kind of think similar is true. Some of that is because Russell Wilson doesn't just like throw targets at guys' feet. He tries to create plays. He tries to scramble. Wilson's really good on a per pass attempt efficiency perspective, but that's because he only throws the ball when guys are open, essentially, or throws guys open. I mean, he's a very talented quarterback, but he tries to extend plays and all that. So there's some like real football reasons that these statistics are what they are. And I'm not expecting them to change very much. As far as the sell guys, though, I already talked about these guys a bunch of other weeks, which is why I kind of want to just comment on Thomas and Locke. But Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram, just want to give like the trap back update. Both of those guys scored a lot of rushing touchdowns early in the season. They still have very big percentages of their offenses, red zone and green zone touches, and they should be expected to be high touchdown guys, except like you can't score like 20 touchdowns. And so they've stopped scoring touchdowns. They're not catching passes. Thomas hasn't broke 18 PPR points. He's better in standard, but hasn't broke 18 PPR points.
Henry.
Yeah. Derrick Henry hasn't broke 18 PPR points since week one when he had a 75-yard touchdown reception. That just shows the kind of – he's been good in that time. He's had 100-yard rushing games and with a touchdown, but he's not even breaking 20 points. We have the top-end PPR running back.
But that's like a top six or seven running back.
The top end. Okay, I'm talking about his ceiling though. The top end PPR running backs can get to 20 points without scoring touchdown. They can literally get there with their 6-for-80 receiving yards. Dalvin Cook did it a couple of weeks ago. He had like 20
points. Well, nobody said Derrick Henry was Dalvin Cook.
No, and I know, but he's like I've seen it referenced that he's like RB11 in PPR. He's more like RB17 in points per game. My point is just with these trap backs, their floor is a lot lower. And their ceiling is also a lot lower without the receiving work. Mark Ingram also, I wanted to add, hasn't broke 15 PPR points since week three. These guys don't have, like, they're not as good as their rushing yards and their rushing touchdowns make you, like, inherently believe or want to believe. And I think they have way more, even trade, one of the advantages to holding them is they have more trade value than I think they're actually worth in fantasy.
Yeah, I have Mark Ingram starting for me in a PPR league, and I would really like to upgrade at that spot because I think he's fine, but I do think he's going to have some bad games along the way. He already has had some bad games. He's had three really bad games in PPR, I'd say, with 9, 8, and 5 fantasy points. That's bad for starting running back in PPR. So I agree with you. I mean, I look at the schedule and I say, all right, there's opportunities for him to get a lot of carries, to get that touchdown, but he needs that touchdown, and he'll get him. You know, but maybe not at the same rate we've seen. So I would like to upgrade. I don't think that they're bad necessarily, but they're going to have bad games. It's particularly in PPR.
Are they still sell highs though?
I don't know. I think Ingram might be. I'm not sure about Henry, but people like, everybody liked Henry more than we did to begin with. So maybe.
Right. People seem to think he's like something a lot more than he is. And that's sort of my point. He's not a difference maker. Like, he's not going to win you any weeks.
But he might in non-PPR. Again, right? I mean, he might in non-PPR.
In non-PPR, it's a different story. But again, I don't think 18 point, like, I know I'm saying he hasn't beat 18 points and like that's the ceiling, but I don't actually think that's that great. I mean, you want running backs who can, like, the difference makers are the ones that can give you 25 point games, 30 point games. And I understand that's only the top backs in the league, but like, we just referenced Dalvin Cook. He was a second round pick. A lot of people were comparing guys like Derrick Henry, and their ADP was close, like Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook. And earlier in the season, in the offseason, we talked about trap backs and said guys that catch passes have the upside to do what Dalvin Cook has done since the beginning of the season. And guys like Derrick Henry do not. They're going to be at best high end RB2. They're not going to be league winner.
He's actually 14th in points per game in non-PPR, Derrick Henry. So not even that good, although a little bit better than Alvin Kamara. All right, Heath, who's the last sell high that we're going to talk about today?
It's Jamal Williams. He has 17 touches over his last two games combined after 18 touches in week 6. He's not really getting any yards. He's just scoring touchdowns, and anyone that will fall, like, I think there's a chance unless, and Aaron Jones could get hurt again, or Aaron Jones could fumble again. But as long as Jones stays healthy, I think there's a chance in a couple of weeks we're asking, should you drop Jamal Williams?
Yeah, and actually, Chris Towers brought up a good point on Monday's show about should you try to sell high on Aaron Jones, since so much of Jones's production has actually come in the passing game, and what happens when Davante Adams gets back? Does that go away? And my thought is just like, no, just ride it out. I mean, he's really good. He has a great schedule, Aaron Jones, coming up. I agree with Jamal Williams, you know, the touches won't be there, but Jones is the lead guy. And I could understand that thought, though, that Davante Adams comes back. If you could turn Aaron Jones into, you know, a true first-round talent, maybe. But he himself just might be a first-round caliber player rest of season. So I'm not really looking at
that. Yeah, I mean, he can't keep up the TD production, and he can't keep up the receiving production quite as high, especially, like, he just keeps winning on downfield routes eventually. And we actually saw this against Kansas City. They rolled a cornerback over to him and put a linebacker on Geronimo Allison at a certain point, because he's not going to just keep getting linebackers with his speed when he keeps just winning down the field for these big touchdowns. So, yeah, it's going to change things, but you have to really like the way that the Packers use him. They keep using him really creatively. His other long reception was where they split him out and threw a quick hit to him. He split out more this week than any other week this season. They're using him in every possible way. They clearly see him as a huge weapon, and he's not somebody that I'd be looking to get rid of.
All right. So sell Jamal Williams, not so much Aaron Jones. And did you say what you would try to get for Jamal Williams, Heath? Like, would you sell him for Calvin Ridley, right?
Terry McLaurin.
Yeah. All right. Darren Fells. I don't know about that, but you could try to upgrade.
I would definitely sell him for Calvin Ridley as well.
Okay. Yeah, so question for you guys. When you buy something online and then you find out that you could have got it for less, how terrible is that? I mean, that's like putting in a huge fab bid for Darren Fells or something like that. That's just so frustrating. Don't let that happen to you. Luckily, it doesn't happen to me because I have Honey, the free browser extension that saves you time and money when shopping online. Honey scans the internet for coupon codes and other discounts. Then, like magic, it automatically applies the one with the biggest savings to your cart at checkout. It knows about every coupon code, every sale or discount at over 20,000 sites like Amazon, Macy's, J.Crew, Domino's, Sephora, Target, whatever. You know, Honey is all over the place. And you save all this money. It's just great. So, yeah, just the other day I was shopping online. I was on Amazon, and I was checking out, and Honey pops up and says, we've got coupon codes for you. Same thing on one of the food services. I don't remember which one. One of those delivery services that delivers food. Honey checked in and said, hey, that you can get a better price. It's so easy. Just a couple of clicks, and it's on your browser, and it's on your computer. This is all you do, right? There's no reason not to use Honey. It's free. And installs on your computer in just two clicks. So you go to joinhoney.com/FFT. You put the browser extension on. You go shopping online, and Honey finds you discounts. So again, joinhoney.com/FFT. Get this for free at joinhoney.com/FFT. News and notes, Andy Dalton getting benched for Ryan Finley. So Ben was going to talk about Tyler Boyd as a buy low. He is currently the number 44 wide receiver in non-PPR, number 33 in PPR. He has the third most targets among wide receivers and is not even a top 30 wide receiver. He has one target inside the 10 all year. Auden Tate, by the way, has the third most green zone targets in the NFL, and they're in their bye. But AJ Green could be coming back. Ryan Finley is now their starting quarterback. How is Tyler Boyd a buy low?
I mean, you just made the case, and you're asking how he is, but you literally just made the case. So.
But he's got a different quarterback.
It's a philosophical difference.
He has a different quarterback and AJ Green coming back.
Look, anytime a guy, I mean, we talk about this in the offseason. We talk about looking at opportunity over efficiency. If you would have told me, I don't care who the name is. If you would tell me a guy in week 8 has the third most targets and isn't even in the top 30 in wide receivers and nobody wants him. I understand he has a quarterback change going on. He has the third most targets. You just made that case. I mean, ultimately, fantasy football is an opportunity-driven game. But is he
getting high-value targets, clearly, Ben? He's not getting high-value targets. He's not getting high-value targets.
Is he a trap receiver?
Is he a trap receiver? He might be. Especially in PPR, though, I'm going to keep chasing these targets. And even if he doesn't score, like, you don't have to score, especially in PPR leagues, to be viable. It's not helping him right now, but the thing that's hurting him more is a really low catch rate, a really low yards per target. Those things will bounce back.
Yeah, so, I'm in 100% agreement. I don't like the quarterback change at all, but I'd still buy low on him.
Okay, so then let me give you some wide receivers. Who would you rather have rest of season, AJ Green or Tyler Boyd?
Green.
I mean, we don't know what to expect from Green. Green is the boomer bust. Boyd is the like steady middle guy. It totally depends what you need. I think they're similar in value.
Marvin Jones or Tyler Boyd?
Tyler Boyd.
Boyd.
John Brown or Tyler Boyd?
Brown.
What Boyd. Does this do? What does this do for AJ Green, Heath, this move to Ryan Finley? So I was pretty hopeful for him. Not anymore.
We don't really know. Finley did some things in the preseason that looked better than what you would have expected from a player of his pedigree. He is an old rookie. I think he's going to turn 25 in like 2 months. I would say it's far more likely that he is worse for AJ Green than Andy Dalton would have been in his first 8 games as a rookie. Maybe one day he is what Andy Dalton is, but I'm pessimistic.
Wait, what is Andy Dalton? He has like a 6.7 yards per attempt this year. It's one of the worst in his career.
He hasn't had AJ Green. He's got no AJ Green. He was doing pretty well with John Ross. You know, like he actually, you look at his fantasy point production, it hasn't been that bad, especially considering the opponents.
But that's
because
he's throwing
faced.
Last week he threw 50 plus passes to get 320 pass yards and one touchdown. I mean,
I'm not going to argue that Andy Dalton is an above average quarterback, but he has a long enough track record that he's pretty much an average quarterback. The idea that a fourth round rookie is going to come in behind an offensive line that's given up the most sacks in football and be an average NFL quarterback is extremely unlikely.
I agree with all that. I also agree with the exact wording you had on Finley, where he did some things that were better than we would have expected. He wasn't like amazing. He's not going to be perfect. But I will say that I don't agree that Andy Dalton's average. I would say he's below average. Of all 33 quarterbacks who have thrown at least 100 passes this year, he's 29th in yards per attempt. Some of that is he doesn't have an offensive line. Some of that is he doesn't have great pass catchers. But I do think he's getting worse rather than better. He's 32 now. We've never really seen Andy Dalton be anything better than average. So I kind of think he is below average at this point.
We've seen 2 to 3 seasons of him being clearly above
average.
Yeah,
he's had a couple of decent stretches. The one year where he broke his wrist, he was like in the MVP conversation. But
yeah,
my point here would be
AJ Green. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like you can't evaluate his. I don't think you can evaluate his numbers fairly because he didn't have his best receiver, and then he lost John Ross.
Not every quarterback has an AJ Green caliber player. He still has reasonable talents.
He really doesn't. I don't know.
Tyler Boyd's very good. I think Tyler Boyd's issues are more related to Andy Dalton. I really do. He was great last year. He was phenomenal at Pitt for 4 seasons, and he had a great profile coming out.
Most people in college were pretty good in college. I mean, most people in the NFL were pretty good in college.
The point I want to make on Finley really quick is I don't think he can be a lot worse than Dalton, right? And I do think there are areas in his range of outcomes where he is better. And even if he's just average, I think Anytime you're replacing a situation that is below average, we have to recognize that there's almost only room to go up and not a lot of room to be a lot worse. He could be really awful and worse, but I kind of think that he actually has some upside and injects some upside in this offense.
So do you think, like, if you're assigning a range of probabilities, it is more likely that he is better or worse?
Worse. I would agree with your comment there. It's more likely that he's worse, but not significantly worse, and there is some potential that he's significantly better.
All right, more news. By the way, this does not make me at all excited about Joe Mixon. This cannot be. I don't think it'd be good for him. Right? Just real quick, can't be good for Mixon.
It can't get worse. Again, it can't get worse.
Well,
fair. It's not
the worst running back situation in the league. It cannot get worse.
The Detroit Lions win that. He at least gets the touches.
I mean, the Bengals adjusted line yards blocking are a half yard lower than every other team except Kansas City. They have been awful on their offensive line, and then they don't even run enough plays to where he can't even get he has more than 15 carries twice all year as a workhorse back. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Jalen Samuels is ready to go, according to Mike Tomlin. I'm sure he was a popular waiver wire pickup. Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert are dealing with injuries. Jeff Wilson is only 4% owned. and he scored 4 touchdowns on 18 carries in weeks 2 and 3.
Is Wilson okay?
Yes. From what I saw, he was cleared from his stinger.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, I expect Wilson. I expect right now, if the game were today, I would expect Coleman and Wilson to be the guys.
That hopefully doesn't mean that Wilson would take the red zone care. Because whenever Wilson's played, he's been the green, gold, and red zone back.
Yep, I know it. We'll talk about that game in a bit. Kenyon Drake's going to have a manageable workload this week. They're not going to just turn him loose, it seems. Brandon Cooks is seeing a concussion specialist as they have a bye week. He's feeling better, but he's had 2 this year, so they want to check out Brandon Cooks. Josh Reynolds maybe would benefit as he did in week 8. Oakland center Rodney Hudson's going to miss several weeks. That's a big loss for them. The Dolphins acquired Aqib Talib, not important for fantasy. They did put Xavien Howard on IR, which is bad for them. Dallas acquired safety Jamal Adams from the Jets. Oh, no, they were going to. I'm sorry. I put this in there when it said they were going to, and then it never happened. So they didn't acquire Jamal Adams.
You already added
it, though.
That's great.
I just Rod Burgundy'd. Kicker news. Heath, you want to read the kicker news? Or you want me to read it?
I think you should read it.
Okay. Well, Heath loves kickers, but Matt Bryant done in Atlanta. Young Hoku signed there. Mike Nugent out in New England.
I think it's Young Wei.
Young Wei. Young Wei Koo. Yeah. Thank you. It's okay. I was giving everyone a little treat there. Mike Nugent out. Nick Folk is in New England. Mike Nugent had a kick blocked in week 8, the first blocked field goal against the Patriots since 2006. Mike Badgley is going to against the Patriots.
Oh.
Yeah, like a Patriots kicker had a kick block.
Yeah.
Young Wei. And Badgley is going to return for the Chargers this week. And Trent Williams ended his holdout, but he may not play. And I don't really want to see any Redskins games, but I do want to see a Nationals game, although I guess it's in Houston. Anyway, what am I getting at? I'm getting at SeatGeek, baby. I'm going to look up on SeatGeek right now how much World Series Game 7 tickets are. This won't take long. Let's see if we can maybe all go, if we can all chip in, reach into our savings a little bit. But do you ever feel like ticketing websites are making it difficult to get to the event on purpose? Well, you're not going to feel that way about SeatGeek. Okay, they make it so easy. All you have to do is type in Astros, and you will find World Series Game 7. Nationals and Astros, and you can get in to World Series Game 7 for the cheap, really? That's it? $506? All right. I'd do that. I mean, if it were Game 7 of the World Series. Right? No kidding. Anyway, SeatGeek's great. You go. I'm looking at it right now. I got all these dots, all these big green dots. Going to click on a green dot on the seating map. That tells me the best value. $523 behind home plate. Sure, it's in the upper deck, but that's really not that bad. What about this one here? Oh, $2,100 for the 24th row right behind home plate. Okay, not that bad. I'm not going to be buying those seats. But anyway, SeatGeek makes it so easy. You just search for an event. You click on the interactive seat map. You find those great deals. You buy those tickets. They've got over 50,000 five-star reviews. They pull together millions of tickets from all over the web. And you can get $10 off your first purchase with the code FFT. So if you want to go to the World Series tonight and you want to drop that price down to $2,100 even for row 24, just use the promo code FFT. Download the SeatGeek app. Your first purchase, take $10 off with the promo code FFT. It's a terrific app, the best way to get seats. All right, schedule alert, good and bad. Odell Beckham has kind of a bad schedule. He's got Denver this week, and then he has Buffalo. And then he has Pittsburgh twice in the 3 games after that. So his next 5 games are Denver, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Miami, which should be great, and then Pittsburgh. Gets a little easier later in the year, but Pittsburgh right now they're 20th in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, but they've gone 5 straight games without allowing more than 8 non-PPR and 12 PPR fantasy points to a wide receiver. They've gotten so much better. So when you look at that with Beckham, who is obviously a huge bust this year. What do you think, Heath?
It for me, really, Odell Beckham and this Browns offense is supposed to be one where I don't worry about schedule. So they're either going to get things figured out and he's going to turn back into Odell Beckham and we're not going to have to worry about who they're playing, or he's going to be a bust anyway.
Okay, but I mean, you should care about Chris Harris, I think. He just did a great job against T.Y. Hilton. He's done a great job pretty much all year.
We... We've seen him get beat a few times. They can move Beckham around and get him away from Harris. And like, there's four teams on a bye with seven of our typical top 30 wide receivers not available. I'm not sitting Odell Beckham probably.
Oh, do you have him in your top 20 this week?
I think he's 22.
Okay. Okay. Other bad matchups. I think Devontae Freeman has a pretty bad schedule going forward. He's got the Bucks, the Saints twice, and the Niners, which I'm not sure how good they are against the run, but they are good against pass-catching running backs, and that's what Devontae Freeman does. So I did want to point that out. Not including Week 17, he has four matchups left against top four defenses against running backs. That's Devontae Freeman. We look at the good matchups. Aaron Jones has a great schedule coming up. Josh Jacobs has a great schedule. Detroit, Chargers, Bengals, Jets, Chiefs. That's his next five matchups. Those teams all are 20th or worse against running backs. Plus, he gets the Chargers in Week 16. So I love the schedule for Josh Jacobs. Philip Lindsay has a pretty good schedule going forward. And I said on Sunday's show that I wanted to see the record of the nine non-dynasty leagues that I'm in, because actually Philip Lindsay was traded in my dynasty league, so I took that out. This year he's traded. I took that one out. What are the records of the teams that have Philip Lindsay? All right, we have four teams that are 2-6, or yeah, four teams that are 2-6, one team that's 3-5. We've got 2-5-3 Philip Lindsay teams, and a 4-3-1. And then we've got a 6-2 Philip Lindsay team, but that team sucks. They have the fourth fewest points in the league. They're the luckiest team I've ever seen. I hate that team. So basically, no, that's a completely different. You have the best team that has Philip Lindsay in all of my leagues. You have the, yeah, so good job. Philip Lindsay has been a league loser so far, in my opinion. Running back dead zone. Yeah, it just hasn't been very good. All right, so anyway, but he does have a good schedule. Cleveland, then a bye. He's got the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Lions coming up. I don't know. Does that mean anything to you?
What's so interesting about this is he hasn't been that bad. But what I just chimed in with was running back dead zone, and I do think that this is a really great argument for that strategy that we talked about all last year, where you don't necessarily need to, and I actually think you shouldn't draft running backs in like the round 4 to round 7, round 8 range. You should be hitting wide receivers, potentially high-end tight ends. Lindsay's the RB12 in PPR leagues, and you just read off the fact that none of his teams are actually that good because he doesn't have weak winning upside really at all.
Yeah, unless Freeman gets hurt, but that's exactly
but like
what it
44%
is.
44% of the teams are 5-3 or better, right?
I don't count one of them because that 6-2 team
yeah,
is terrible.
If you want to be
terrible,
average, go ahead.
What are you talking about? Like, it's almost split. If there was a 10th league, I would presume that 10th team would be 5-3, and then it would be 50-50.
There is a 10th league, but I couldn't count it.
Four of these teams are 2-6 in, like, nearly last or tied for last, and one is 6-2, and Adam already said that that isn't a very good 6-2.
You are not 2-6 because you drafted Philip Lindsay in the fourth or fifth round.
You might be. That's part of it. He's not helping you.
No.
Okay.
He's not helping. I agree with that.
I don't. Okay.
You need the upside. You need guys that are going to win you weeks. This is a safe pick. And if you miss on other picks, Philip Lindsay isn't correcting that problem. He's not helping you fix that issue.
I think the thing that I'm thinking about it as, like, most of the teams where I have Philip Lindsay are teams where I've got elite wide receivers, and some of them have struggled, but I don't need Philip Lindsay if my receivers are doing what they're supposed to be some world beater. Give me my 10 to 12 points. I've got receivers that are putting up 30. I'll be just fine.
He's had two big games this year. They were at Green Bay and at the Chargers, and those are excellent matchups. He has had a fairly difficult schedule. So I would be somewhat optimistic going forward because he does have good matchups, but now it's not, he doesn't own the goal line work anymore. You know, that was the thing, like the first 5 weeks or so, and then the last 2 weeks, maybe even 6 weeks, the last 2 weeks Royce Freeman's been in there, and now it's maybe a guessing game. Okay, let's preview the Thursday night game, and then we're going to spend the rest of the show answering your questions via email, via tweet, and via Apple Podcasts as well. And I will try to get this Halloween horror movie quote game in here because it's pretty fun from a listener named John. San Francisco is at Arizona, and sit Jimmy Garoppolo. He is no higher than 17th. Yes, it's a great matchup. Cardinals allow the third most fantasy points, but every quarterback that's had a big game against the Cardinals, except for one, except for Kyle Allen, they've all had 36 or more pass attempts, and Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't even come close to that. He's averaging 27 per game. So if we want to start with San Francisco, Heath, how high are you on Tevin Coleman this week, and what about a second 49ers running back?
Tevin Coleman's a must start. If there are only two of the four San Francisco 49ers running backs that are active, then the other guy will be a low-end flex, whether it's Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, whoever. If it was Coleman, Mostert, and Wilson all healthy, I would only want to start Coleman.
Okay, so let's say it's Wilson and Coleman. Would you start Wilson or like Odell Beckham?
Odell Beckham.
Okay. Wilson
is
would be
Breida pretty... definitely out or
no,
he just hasn't practiced okay. yet. It's...
Okay.
Yeah. He's not definitely out. Mostert's not definitely out. So we don't know.
I fully expect that he's not going to practice at all. And then he's going to be active and get the first carry for the 49ers. And then he's going to get banged up in the fourth quarter and leave early.
Breida?
That sounds exactly right.
Okay. All right then. Emmanuel Sanders, who's the best wide receiver in this game, Heath?
Christian Kirk. I mostly agree with the things that Ben said about the buy low. Larry Fitzgerald has just disappeared from the game plan over the past couple of weeks. And I like Emmanuel Sanders. If I thought that he was going to get within three or four of Christian Kirk in terms of targets, then I would like Sanders more than Kirk this week. It's a much better matchup, but he is probably going to get Patrick Peterson on at least some snaps. And they have not had a wide receiver yet this season receive more than seven targets in a game. That's terrible.
To the Niners, yeah, they've had two instances with six or more targets. Yeah, it's crazy. Which
the
is
answer
the number...
to the question is George Kittle. He's obviously not a receiver, yeah. But like that's the answer.
Yeah, he's your number one tight end, and he's everybody's number one tight end in both formats. But would you go with like let's say D.D. Westbrook's out? Would you start Chris Conley or a wide receiver in this game, or Christian Kirk?
I've got Kirk just ahead of Conley, but they're right in the same area. And we won't know if Westbrook's out, so I probably definitely go. I just go with Kirk.
Where is that in your rankings?
Christian Kirk in PPR is 33rd. Conley is 38th.
Yeah, so look, wide receivers against San Francisco, they give up the fourth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. But they did have this thing where every wide receiver, basically, that got six targets or more did well. And that was all last year. And then into this year for the first like four or five games. But recently, Beckham, Cooper Kupp, and both Panthers wide receivers had six or more targets, and all of them did poorly. Their pass rush is unbelievable. Kyler Murray does get sacked, you know, so they could really be all over him. And by the way, starter sit Kyler Murray.
Sit.
Yeah.
Who are some streamers that you'd start over him?
Gardner Minshew for sure. Derek Carr. I'd prefer Daniel Jones. I would even, as down as I am on Sam Darnold, I would even start Sam Darnold over Kyler Murray.
I just added Sam Darnold to start him over Kyler Murray in the league.
Now, I do have them back to back, but I would start Darnold.
So I guess the question really is about Kenyon Drake and what do you do with the Arizona running backs?
I'm a little bit worried about the statement that's come out that they're going to limit his workload. Originally, I think I had him projected for 15 or 16 touches. And if he's projected for 15 or 16 touches, even against the 49ers, I'm most likely going to start him this week because of the buys and the situations that we've got. There have been three running backs that have received at least 14 carries against this defense. All three of them topped 80 rushing yards. So it's not an impossible matchup.
No.
He's a high-end flex, a low-end number two.
Okay. He's better than the second 49ers running back, whoever that is. But what if it's Breida?
If it's Breida, then probably not. It's Breida, right in the same range.
Breida's had three pretty crummy games in a row. He's had like 35 rushing yards, basically. Let's see. Last three straight games with exactly 35 rushing yards, no more than 63 total yards, and no touchdowns for Matt Breida. So,
I think he's been hurt in two of those three games, but he might get hurt in this one.
Yeah, he might. He might. Emmanuel Sanders. They can't cover anyone. 10 wide receivers have had 6 or more targets against the Cardinals, and all 10 have had either 80 yards or a touchdown. But as Heath mentioned, it's just hard to get 6 targets. But, I don't know. Ben, what do you think about Emmanuel Sanders?
I pretty much agree with everything Heath said. The one thing I would chime in with on Breida not playing well lately, I mean, we see that with combo backfields where touches are limited. They don't hit a big touch. And we know Breida's not getting a ton of high-value touches, but we have seen him hit some big plays in the past in this offense. And the other thing I would just say is we're seeing this offense continue to be very valuable for running backs. We're obviously seeing Tevin Coleman produce. If Breida's in there and getting 10 touches in this offense against the Cardinals defense, even though he hasn't hit in the last few weeks, I would look at the bigger picture and say, yeah, he can hit in that scenario.
Basically, Kittle and Coleman seem like the only great, great starts in this game, unless Drake's going to get big work, right? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay, and the 49ers DST is number 2 overall. All right, we got a lot left here. Some straightforward fantasy questions. You want to fire through these real quick, guys?
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Here we go. First one might take a little bit of thinking, but most of it's going to be rapid fire. From WC Red, best bench stash that could be a league winner?
Alexander Mattison.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, it's got to be a running back. I still think Justice Hill, I'm trying to think even deeper. I think Madison's owned in a lot of leagues. Justice Hill is a guy that is on a lot of my waiver wires, and every week I look at him and I'm like, I kind of want to grab him. Once I get through buys, I probably will.
I was going to say Gus Edwards.
Yeah, why Justice Hill? I really think Edwards is...
I think he's more explosive and he has a higher upside. If something were to happen to Ingram, I think he would end up earning more of the work.
Okay. Next one. From Jimmy.
He's probably not my favorite, but go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the same vein as Madison would be Tony Pollard. Next question.
Yeah.
From Jimmy. Should I roll with Hunter Henry and Evan Ingram, one of them in the flex, or try to trade one for a running back?
I'd try to trade one. I think it totally depends on trade value. Yeah. Cause I think these tight ends are worth a lot. And when we just did that rest of the season mock last week, these types of tight ends went in the first 3, 4, 5 rounds. If you're not getting that type of value, cause people are like, oh, he's just a tight end, then you can't really trade him. And maybe you do have to roll with him in the flex. You need to get a difference maker to give someone else this good of a player at a position that's very thin.
Okay. Okay, Stephon Diggs is a top blank wide receiver going forward from Tyler.
24?
18.
From Michael, Sony Michel or David Montgomery rest of season?
The poison pill?
Sony.
From K1D Freeze, Sam Darnold or Lamar Jackson this week?
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson. I'll take Montgomery on the last question.
From Eric, Minshew or Lamar Jackson this week?
Jackson.
I'm sticking with Lamar. I've got them both top 6, so I like them both.
From Neil, should I drop Kyler Murray for Jameis Winston in a 6-point per passing touchdown league? I need a bye week fill-in for Watson in week 10. I think they play each other, Kyler and Jameis, in week 10. I'll check on that.
They do. That's correct.
That is correct.
You should just drop Kyler and stash one of these running backs we're talking about, if it's not Justice Hill or any of those other ones, and then pick someone up in week 10. Don't worry about it right now.
Well, no. You can't necessarily do that.
I knew Adam wouldn't like that. We're just saying, rapid fire.
I would rather have Jameis.
The virtues of 2 QBs. Go.
I would rather have Jameis. In 6-point per pass.
I would rather stash a running back because you never know when injuries hit. You take it for 1 week. You take your lottery pick for 1 week, and then you just pick up whatever quarterback you can next week.
That's ridiculous. Absolutely crazy. It's
way smarter than rostering a quarterback for an extra week just so you can play him a week from now.
Not necessarily. I'll tell you why. Because in the leagues that I'm in that aren't filled with fantasy analysts, I can't find good quarterbacks on the waiver wire because everybody's got 2. That's just in the leagues I'm in with fantasy analysts. Yeah, I probably agree with you. There's plenty to pick
from. But this guy has Watson. He needs a quarterback for 1 week. You don't need a good quarterback for 1 week.
You need to win. What? You need to win. You need to win that week. You need a quarterback that's good.
Ben doesn't need to win.
No, Ben's like, that's fine. from Iron Mike, Duke Johnson or Kenyon Drake, PPR?
Drake. Very uncomfortable with that.
Duke never Drake. Catches passes. He catches like two a game.
Yeah, I think Drake.
From Red Eye Jedi, can we trust Carson Wentz as an every week starter, or is he a matchup guy?
Every quarterback's a matchup guy.
No, that's not true. But he is not one of the six quarterbacks that are not matchup guys.
Okay, that's so right?
There are six or seven that are definitely not matchup guys. And no, I take that back. Like half the league's not a matchup guy.
Okay, yeah, there's. I mean, what about Wentz? That's an exaggeration. But
Wentz is a matchup guy.
Okay. He just needs to throw more. From Jason, will Tevin Coleman be better than Nick Chubb rest of season?
No. He had 12 touches.
I doubt it. Probably from not. Timmy. I hope not.
From Timmy, can I drop Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah. I mean, depending on the depth of your league, but if it's a shallow enough league, yeah.
You can. I'd rather not.
Okay. From MBN, Demaryius Thomas or Devontae Parker rest of season?
Devontae Parker.
A poison pill. Devontae Parker. I'll take Devontae Parker.
From John, rank these running backs rest of season in PPR. Jacobs, Carson, Le'Veon Bell. Jacobs, Carson, Le'Veon Bell.
Bell. Bell is one. I'll take Carson and then Jacobs. That's the way
Jacobs, Carson, Bell.
No, what?
Really? I was going to put Carson one.
I am not 100% certain that a bunch of bad defenses are going to fix everything that ails the Jets.
I'm just going to put Carson
one. We're talking
one.
Full just... PPR.
Yeah, he's not
caught
catching
five
the ball
passes
lately.
In the last three games combined.
All right. Yeah, he's still running like 80% routes per dropback. Let's just move on. We got to go rapid fire. Like, he's going to catch more balls.
That dream, the rapid fire dream died a long time ago. From James, Golden Tate or Tyrell Williams rest of season?
Tyrell.
Call him. Although I do prefer Tate this week.
When Heath says call him, he means Tyrell Williams. From Miguel, starters hit Sammy Watkins this week. No way. I mean, if Moore plays, you can't start him.
I actually think we might end up seeing Mahomes this week. Like, he was practicing last week, said he would play. It was a playoff game. They lost again. They're 4-3 now. We might actually see Mahomes. And if Mahomes plays, I think you can start Sam.
Ben looks confused when I said call him. You know what that's from, right?
Nobody knows what that's from, dude.
No.
It's the weirdest reference.
Call Tyrone?
Nobody knows what that is.
What's that from? I said, is that from like Friday or one of the...
All right. I'm not going to tell you.
No, Ben is terrible at pop culture, but this is not Ben's fault. And is the Chicago defense fantasy dead? I'm ready to drop them and the playoff schedule looks like crap.
That's all true, defenses are matchup dependent too. Except the Patriots, but every other defense. So,
and the
49ers. And the 49ers. And the
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They haven't really been that bad, but they do have the Cowboys, Packers, and Chiefs in the playoffs, which isn't good. I'm not sure you should drop them until the playoffs, though. All right, we're going to take a break here on Fantasy Football Today, and when we come back, we will read some Apple Podcast questions and finish up the show.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Ben and I are going to finish up the show now as Heath ditched us. But I've got to tell you real quick about ZipRecruiter, okay? Because hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Now, Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Absolutely outstanding. That's why ZipRecruiter is great. And you can see why it's effective for businesses of all sizes. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. That's our free web address. ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. One more time. ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. How's it going, Ben? I feel like I've been mean to you today.
No, I feel like I was very combative today as well. I think it was a good show.
I liked it. I had fun. I didn't say magenta at all. People hate that, so they've sort of bullied me out of saying that. So, all right, let's do it. Apple Podcast questions. Leave us your reviews, and here we go. Trades from Devin. Someone offered me Juju and David Johnson for James Conner. Should I accept it or reject it? Would you give up James Conner to get Juju and David Johnson?
I mean, just like a general note to our listeners too, like these types of trades, we're always going to need a little more context. I'm going to need to know like how deep your league is and whether you need to add a receiver. But we don't know much about David Johnson and James Conner's injuries. They're both hurt now.
Well, that's why
I'm taking this trade.
Yeah, I was going to say David Johnson. Like they're pretty similar. Conner and Johnson right now, right? I mean,
right. Yes, I would consider them very similar, and then you're just getting Juju, who I think is going to bounce back, actually.
Yeah, I think like the typical 70-yard game or something like that, that's pretty much what Juju's done most weeks. That's pretty realistic, and that's a valuable player. From a city with, I just want to say, I do think there are probably going to be some duds in there for Juju, but you're getting him, you know, practically for free.
I think he's going to have some ceiling games more than what we've seen. So I'll add that in there.
From a city with the worst California basketball team. Is that Golden State now?
It must be Golden State.
I don't know anything about the NBA.
It's Oakland, I guess. Golden State.
Right. I know Golden State's not a city. I'm getting the standings up. Let's see. NBA standings. Let's see. Golden State is 1-2, but Sacramento's 0-4.
Must be Sacramento.
Yeah, he's from Sacramento. Grade the trade in a dynasty league. Give Gurley, Cam Newton, and Paris Campbell. Gurley, Cam Newton, and Paris Campbell. Get Watson, Fournette, and Preston Williams.
A-. I think the Newton to Watson swap is a really good one. I think Watson has a lot more years ahead of him. Newton may not, even before he got hurt. Obviously he was still kind of playing hurt, but we're just not seeing as much running from him, and we haven't even in the last couple of seasons necessarily. The Gurley to Fournette swap is a really good one in terms of dynasty value, an extremely good one. And I don't, you got to give up Paris Campbell to make that happen, but Preston Williams has a little bit of upside too. I mean, I think that's a really good dynasty trade, a forward-looking dynasty trade.
This is from one of our listeners in a city in central North Carolina. I do not know any North Carolina geography, but I've been to Durham, so I will say Durham. Grade the trade non-PPR. Emmanuel Sanders, Hooper, and Cooper. Amari Cooper. Emmanuel Sanders, Austin Hooper, and Amari Cooper to get Michael Thomas and Evan Ingram. That's interesting. I'll say it one more time. You give up Emmanuel Sanders, Austin Hooper, and Amari Cooper. You get Michael Thomas and Evan Ingram in non-PPR. Michael Thomas, by the way, in points per game, he's number 1 in PPR. He's number 4 in non-PPR. Stiff.
Yeah, I mean, this trade is like, meh. It's like a C to me. I mean, I think Amari Cooper's better in non-PPR. Yeah, you're moving up to Michael Thomas, but like Emmanuel Sanders is not without value. And are Hooper and Ingram really that different? I mean, I don't know that they are, so...
It's
kind of like moving around the deck chairs.
Okay. From Axe Fantasy Capital, which is great. That's a Billions reference. Ben's never seen Billions. He doesn't watch good shows. I am giving up Godwin and Lindsay for Kupp and Ingram. Giving up Godwin and Lindsay for Kupp and Mark Ingram. Half PPR.
I'm going to grade that D+.
You'd rather have Godwin and Lindsay.
I would rather have Godwin and Lindsay. Yeah, I mean, I noted earlier why I would be kind of selling on Ingram. Lindsay has a little bit more of a receiving role. I feel a little bit more confident in him. I don't really like him either. I don't like either of these backs. And I also just feel more confident in Godwin rest of season than Kupp, as good as Kupp has been. And I still think Kupp's going to be very good. I still feel very confident in him. I think I would take Godwin over Kupp rest of season. So I don't know. I would lean that side. It's a very even trade. Godwin and Kupp, very similar breakout guys. We're hoping they can sustain this production. Obviously a lot of good signs, Lindsay and Ingram, some negative signs, and very like low ceiling RB2 types. And it's, you know, it's pick your players that you like.
This is from Colin in a city south of East Lansing, giving up a lot of players for a lot of players. Here we go. You're giving up Chris Carson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Melvin Gordon, Odell Beckham, and the Seahawks DST. Getting Kamara, Latavius Murray, Lamar Jackson, Larry Fitzgerald, and the Bills DST. Okay, so you are giving up two running backs in Carson and Melvin Gordon and getting back Kamara and Latavius Murray. That feels like a loss to me. You are giving up Juju Smith-Schuster and Odell Beckham, and you are getting Lamar Jackson and Larry Fitzgerald. That feels like a loss to me. And you are giving up the Seahawks DST for the Bills DST, which doesn't really matter to me. I think I hate this trade. This might be an F.
It's not a great one. I disagree with the part where the Kamara and Latavius Murray duo is a lot. I'm really concerned about Melvin Gordon, and I like Chris Carson, but I still think Alvin Kamara is going to have a really good second half of the season. I think he was close to playing this week. He should play after the bye, and Breeze is back, and he's going to be himself. So I do like acquiring Kamara, but you gave up probably too much.
Well, I agree with you that I'm worried about Melvin Gordon and that Kamara is going to have a good second half, but I'd still rather have Carson and Gordon than Kamara and Latavius.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd disagree with that part.
Well, then you're basically committed to starting both Kamara and Latavius every week.
Well, I don't know the rest of the team, but I'm assuming that if this individual is trading all of these players, Carson, Juju, Gordon, Odell, he's trading from a position of strength because he's also acquiring a quarterback. He's not acquiring much depth. Like the way I'm reading this is I'm kind of adding some assumptions, but I'm assuming that this person has a deep starting lineup.
They're getting the best player in the trade, so
you can justify it. But I agree, it's not a good trade value-wise.
He used to have a deep starting lineup. He just traded all of it. Yeah. All right, Ben. thank you very much, Ben Gretsch and Heath Cummings. I'm Adam Azer. Thank you all for listening. We've got our Halloween edition tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today. See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.